We started a series last week called The Core Four. And these messages are the foundation for this ministry and foundation of what we preach and teach here. And it's the fundamentals, it's the basics. And talked about Pilates and developing your core. Well, this will help to develop your core spiritually. We want you to be skilled in these things and understand these things and to be a success as a believer in your life. And so these messages are all about that. Core number one was, well, this was last week, was living in Christ. Everybody say living in Christ. And we mentioned there's over 130 scripture references in the New Testament that refer to who you are, what you have, and what you can do. And those scriptures say in Christ, in Him, through Him, by Christ. And as you go through the Word, and especially the New Testament, mark those scriptures in there because those are things that are yours, that you possess now. And Philemon 1 verse 6 talks about acknowledging that and confessing those good things that we have in Christ. And so I hope you've been doing that this week. Now let's talk about core number two, living by faith. Everybody say living by faith. It says four times in the scriptures that we live by faith. And so it's important to know about faith and understand faith. And it says it's in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please Him without faith. So today we want to talk about living by faith. Anybody here have a financial need today? A couple people? Probably all of us have some kind of financial need. But let's just say that you had a need of $500. You've got some past due bills and some things that need to be paid and, you know, behind on some things. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Anybody here? We've been behind on things. Let's just say you have a good friend, and we'll call our good friend Frank. And you have a good friend that said to you, if whenever you ever have a need and you ever get behind, call me and I'll bring you what you need. That's a good friend, isn't it? How many people want some friends like that? So sure enough, you're behind and you have a need, and so you call Frank and you remind him of his promise, and he says, just doesn't even think about it, he says, I'll bring you the money. I can't come to your house, but meet me at so-and-so downtown and meet me at such time, and I'll be there and I'll bring you your $500. And so you hang up the phone and you probably feel some relief. Probably be excited about that, probably, you know, knowing that your need's going to be met. But you probably would go through what I call the trust test. The trust test. And these are some questions that you're going to probably ask yourself about this particular promise. And you're going to ask yourself these questions. What did He actually promise me? Well, He promised me $500. He'd meet me such and such time. And then you're going to ask yourself this. How well do I know this person? Do they have a proven track record? Are they reliable? Is their word good? Can I trust them? And then you're going to ask yourself this question. Do they have the ability to meet your need? And if you can answer yes to these questions and have confidence in the answers to these questions, you're probably going to get in your car and drive and meet that person. And so, as you're driving, and again, initially you're probably full of joy, you're excited, maybe you were really expectant, you got your deposit slip ready, you know, you're going to get your $500, you're going to put it in the bank, maybe you've got your envelopes already stamped and addressed, expectant. But I don't know if this ever happened to you, on the way to see Frank, you start thinking about some things. Well, I know Frank is a good guy, and I know Frank has blessed a lot of people, but will he really bless me? You know, and then maybe you'll say this, you know, am I really worthy? Am I good enough to receive from Frank? And you can start, you know, does Frank really have the ability? Is he really as good as he says he is? And what happens? You start wavering. What happens? Doubt, unbelief creeps in to try to get you to draw back and not go and receive your $500. Well, see, this is a good example, illustration of faith. Faith is all about trust. Faith is trust in someone's word, in their strength, their ability to keep their word. Are they reliable? Are you persuaded that they are? And so living by faith, it has everything to do with trust in God. And then not only that, but then do we trust His Word? There's a great scripture over in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there, please. Faith is conviction. Faith is confidence. Faith is a trust. It's a belief. It's a reliance. It's being fully persuaded in God and in His Word. And what faith does, faith reaches out and grabs the promises of God and brings them into your life. Did you catch that? Living by faith, what it does, it reaches out and grabs the promises of God and brings them into your life. Well, I see they have Hebrews 11, 1 up there. This is the Amplified that says, now faith is. I like that. Now faith is. Faith is not in the future. Faith is not one day, and faith is not even in the past. Faith is now. Now, faith is the assurance. I love these words. The assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith is not based on the senses, what you can feel or see or taste or touch. Faith is on the inside. Faith is a spiritual substance. And I like some of the words that they use here. I mean, of course, the word assurance, but it uses the word confirmation. Have you ever gotten a confirmation for a hotel room? Ever gotten a confirmation for a car rental? And you're going to go to a particular city on these particular dates, and you've got your confirmation number. Now, when you have your confirmation number, are you sweating the whole time wondering whether you're going to have a hotel waiting for you? Now, I mean, if it's not a good company, maybe you are. But I mean, do you ever even give it another thought until you get to the counter and ready to get your car or go to the hotel? And then what happens if they don't have it? You pull out your piece of paper and say, and you, of course, you walk in love and you're very graceful. But I've got a confirmation here. You promised me this car. You promised me this room. See, it says it right here. And you can demand this room. So faith is a confirmation. Faith is the title deed. What's a title deed? Hopefully you have a couple titles to something, but a title deed is a legal deed or document constituting evidence of the right to ownership of the property. It's evidence. And what is a title deed? Title deeds are words. Words on a piece of paper promising you something. And, you know, and I've used this illustration here. My folks inherited some land in Montana. And they had the title to that land. It was like several hundred acres. And they had that land for years and years and years, never even saw it, never went to look at it. Really not good business and good sense. But they had the title deed to it. And so based on that title deed, they know they've got a tract of land in Montana. Whether they've actually seen it, they've got a word on it. Faith is a title deed. Faith is a title deed. It's a confirmation to a promise from God. And again, it's a written promise. It's written down. It's words. It's God's word. And I love this. Proof. Proof of things we do not see. See, it's not your physical senses. Proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact. Look at the words again. Real fact. It's a fact. What is not revealed to the senses. And so where is it real? It's real on the inside of you. It's real to your spirit, man. You trust God's word. You take him at his word. Even though circumstances have not changed, even though it doesn't look like you have it, you believe in the word. Your belief in the word is stronger than the circumstances. Your belief in the word is stronger than how you feel or what you see. Your belief in the word is stronger than your bank book balance. Can I get an amen from somebody today? Your belief in the word is stronger than that pain in your body. For the spiritual realm is a higher realm than this natural realm. And what faith does, it goes into the spirit realm and grabs the promise, I love this, grabs the promises of God and brings it into your realm here on the earth. So living by faith, this is an important thing for us to know. It's a core. It's one of the core four. I love what the Message translation says of Hebrews 11, 1, verse 2. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this is what we're talking about, trust in God. And when you trust somebody, you trust their word. Hopefully you've got some people in your life that you trust. And when they say something to you, you act on that word because you trust them. Well, how much more should we act on God's word? I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He's the one that created people. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. This is a book of faith people. This is a book of God dealing with people that have believed Him over thousands of years. And really, we're a continuation of the book. We're a continuation of the book of Acts. And if they lived by faith, then we need to live by faith. We can't base our life on circumstances. If you're led by your feelings, if you're led by circumstances, you'll never receive all that God has for you. Who wants all that God has for us? How many know there's a lot of promises in here? I want every promise for me and my family and for you. And if we want to tap into those promises, it is by faith. Well, a good question to ask is, how does faith come? You were thinking that. That's why I'm bringing it up. How does faith come? Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 15. Some good things here. It says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. You need to underline that. Gospel of peace. Who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is an important point because every time the word is mentioned or preached doesn't mean it's the gospel of peace. Doesn't mean it's glad tidings. Doesn't mean it's good news. And so that's why we need to be trained. We need to have an understanding, because anybody that uses the scriptures to tell you it's God's will for you to be sick, that's not good news. Anybody that tells you that God wants you poor doesn't have an understanding. And you can use the word to say a lot of things. You can take scriptures out of context and do different, I mean, a lot of things you can do with the word of God. But we know better, right? And so that's not the gospel of peace. That's not good news. So keep that in mind as we continue on here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing. And hearing. and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. How do you hear? You hear it preached. You hear it spoken. You read it with your eyes. You meditate on it, which is a lost art in the body of Christ today. Meditating, thinking on the Word, mulling over the Word. It's a great way to get the Scripture into your heart. But then, of course, a powerful way is speaking the Word. These are all ways that feed our spirit, man. These are all ways that we hear the Word. So in order for faith, to have faith, we need to be hearing the Word of God. Yeah. And over in Mark 4, it talks about the Scripture being a seed. Yeah. And so I encourage you on a daily basis, put seeds of the Word planted in your heart. Look at it, hear it, speak it, think about it every day. Plant it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Because the process of doing that is going to manufacture a product called faith. So you got to have the Word. The Word, you can't have faith without the Word. So it's essential. And that's why it's important to have a good church. But it's not enough to come on Sundays or Wednesdays or School for Life. I mean, it's a daily thing. Matthew chapter 4. I'm preaching again, pretty good again today. I'm on a roll here, y'all. Matthew 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. Anybody have some bread today? Hopefully you didn't have too much bread because we're watching our weight, right? But how many know it's difficult to go without food? Fasting. Who likes to fast? Any hands? All right, let's just go ahead and declare a fast today. If I did just that, you'd be freaking out right now. People leaving early. Got to get me some food. Just the thought of it. But yet we fast our spirit, man, just about every day. Well, I'm fasting my spirit, man. I've declared a year-long fast of my spirit, man, and we're not going to feed him all year. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but it shows you how we're so much more tied to the natural than we are to spiritual things. But really, the spirit realm, again, is the higher realm. And if we're going to have to know how to operate in these things, if we want to get those promises from the Word, off the pages of the Word, into our heart. So there's a process: listening, reading, meditating, speaking the Word. All right, where is faith found? Another question. You were thinking this, I know it. Where is faith found in the believer? You're in Romans right there. Turn, look at a few verses back, Romans 10, verse 8. And this is a verse you probably heard when you were born again, or when you were saved. Romans 10, verse 8 says this, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Telling us where the Word needs to be. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So where are the two places? In your heart and in your mouth. That's where we need faith to be. In our hearts and in our mouths. In our hearts is the things that we believe. The things that we have an assurance of. Again, every time you hear the Word, you're forming a belief or strengthening a belief. Putting it in your heart, and it's where you believe. But then it has a second part, which is a part many, I mean, you all should know this, but many in the body of Christ, they don't know this. They don't know the power of their words. How do we know that? Listen to them. Listen to what they're saying. Have you ever been around someone that just speaks death? Hopefully it's not your mate. But I mean, they're just speaking death, and you know, depending on the relationship, I mean, if you feel comfortable, some people you'll say something, but a lot of people you just can't. say anything to them. But how many enjoy just being around someone that's just speaking trash? See, they don't understand the power of their words. They don't know these things. They haven't heard these things. But see, confession seals the deal. Confession brings heaven to earth. The confession of your beliefs bring heaven to earth. Confession takes the spiritual things that are in your heart that you believe and makes it a reality in this natural realm. Y'all catching this? It grabs hold of the promises. And that's why faith is a possession. Faith possesses it already. If you're, and I don't know, understand why some people can grab hold of some things sooner. So, I mean, it took me at least 5 times hearing the gospel before I got saved. I mean, I just didn't get it. It took me a long time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be able to grab hold of that and to receive it. But healing was something I grabbed hold of soon and have been walking in for 30 years. But we all have those, and I don't really understand why in some areas. And so those are some areas that may be easy for us, but we need to develop in those other areas. How do you do that? Put the word in your heart and then speak it. Put the word in your heart and then speak it. Now, every time you say it, is it going to come to pass? Not necessarily, because sometimes you're forming that belief. And it's not solidified. And even though you're saying it, because sometimes we say things and we don't even believe it after we said it. You ever done that? You've got this situation in your life and you know you're supposed to say something, but you know when you say it, it's not going to happen. You don't really believe it, but that's okay. That's okay. What do? You keep on putting it in there and you keep on saying it. And then one day, 30 years ago, this in August, 1982, I believed the gospel. And then I sealed the deal. I went into the spirit realm and grabbed salvation that God had waiting for me. He already had it there. And I was just taking hold of it for myself. And that day I was born again. I was saved. I entered into God's family. I became a child of God. All those things happened because of faith. Did I understand what I was doing? Not necessarily. But I believed, and then I said it. And I grabbed hold of it. Well, this is the same thing we do with every area of our lives. The same thing we do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same thing we do with healing. The same thing we do with all these different areas. And so we got to go back to the Word. We got to go back to our words, what we're saying. And don't be frustrated because you've said it so many times it hasn't come to pass. Keep on speaking. Keep on saying. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't draw back. Your miracle, your blessing, the thing you're believing for is on the way. How many know we get discouraged? Sometimes we say and pray about things and they get worse. How many like that testimony? We get up and have a testimony service and all people get up there and, yeah, I'm believing God for this and it just got worse, man. Devil's just beating me up, you know. That's not a very good testimony. But yet we all deal with these things, depending on the area. We deal with these things, and it's discouraging. It is frustrating. It is hard. But I want to tell you, we stick at it. Faith people just stick at it. We stick to it. We keep on moving forward. We don't grow weary. We don't give up. We just stay with it. Believing and saying grabs hold of the promises of God and possesses it. Have you, now let me ask you this, and I mean, I definitely know this about salvation, but have you ever had that happen? Can you think of a situation where you knew that you had it before you saw it? When that happens, I mean, are you freaking out? Are you freaking out if the creditor's calling you or situations are arising? No, you just have a peace on the inside. You have a calm. You have a joy. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care that all hell is breaking loose. I know that I know that I know that I have it. It's mine. It's mine right now because the Word of God promises it to me and He won't lie to me. He's faithful who promised. He's good for His Word. I can trust Him to do what He says He's going to do. And so when that happens, you see, how we know you're in faith is when your actions begin to change. If you're just all worried and all stressed, you're not there. And that's okay. I mean, it's not okay for your mate, but I mean, it's okay because as long as you know where you're going, as long as you stay at it. But if you're not sleeping at night, you remember Jesus in the storm? What is He doing? He's just crashed in the boat. We've got a hurricane going on, and Jesus is in the boat asleep. The only faith guy in the boat. I mean, are you sleeping? What are you saying? We've learned at our household, and now we talk about situations. You can talk, be real with, I mean, other faith folks, but we don't talk our problems with people. Unless they're another faith person. But we know there's a whole lot of things I'm not going to say. I'm just not going to say. I'm not going to say I'm poor. I'm not going to say I'm broke. I'm not going to complain about gas prices. I'm not going to complain about our president and taxes and all those things. That's just a waste of time. That's just perpetuating the problem. That's just bringing more things that the enemy wants to bring your way. See, your words attract things.
Yes, yes.
You can either be in faith, which is trust in God, or fear, which is trust in the lies of the devil. I'm glad that our, and maybe in some cases it's true, but I'm glad our dollar bill doesn't say, "In Satan we trust." I'm glad it doesn't say, "In our government we trust. In my boss we trust." It says, "In God we trust." Where are we putting our trust? Because that's going to determine how you're going to act in that situation. And we all face pressure. And the enemy, again, is trying to bring pressure. What is he? He's trying to bring lies. And one of the hardest things is when he uses other Christians to bring those lies. But what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to accept and believe in his lie. And then what? Then say it. And say it. And say it until you believe his lies. And then that will manifest. You're grabbing hold of his lies. Not his promises. His lies. So believing in our heart, speaking with our mouths. Message translation says of this of Romans 10 verse 8. The word that saves us is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core. Core. Okay. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God, "Jesus is my master," embracing, I love that, embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting in him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. I'm encouraging you today to embrace the word of God. Embrace his promises. There's a whole lot of lies going on. I mean, if you just sit there and watch the TV, I mean, just lie after lie coming forth. You got to do something to counteract that. You just can't just sit there. You know, television tell you its vision. You can't sit there and just let the television tell you its vision day after day, and you just, and so many times, I don't know about you, but after a day of work, I mean, I know you think pastors don't work, but after a day of work, you're just like, and you're just sitting there, mindlessly just taking it all in, and then we wonder why we don't have more results. We need to have the Word tell us God's vision. We need to have the Word tell us what He wants and desires for us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I just did all that so I could sit down right here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith..." Do I have anybody in here today that has a spirit of faith? Or do you want to be known as a church of the spirit of doubt and unbelief? Spirit of sickness. Spirit of poverty. Spirit of death. No, the spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Believers, speaking God's Word. We'll wrap it up here in Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Let's read about the Amplified Version. See, faith is a confidence. Faith is a trust. Faith is a reliance. Again, you know, you got Frank. He tells you what he's going to do. You believe what he's saying, and so you show up. You act like what he's saying is true, so you go and meet him at a particular time. It's just, how much more should we trust in God's Word and what he's saying? Romans 4, verse 16, Amplified, says this: "Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he foretold and promised as if they already existed." Speaks of non-existent things as though they already existed. That's exactly what we're talking about. "For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hopeless in the natural, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised." What are you promised? What are you promised? And that's why I want to encourage you to go to the Word. What do the promises say? What does God say about healing? What does God say about provision? What does God say about ministry? What does He say about giving life? What does the Word say? What's His promise? "So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which is as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong." I love this. He grew strong. See, you can grow stronger putting in the Word, putting in the Word, speaking the Word, meditating on the Word, thinking about the Word. You're growing stronger. You're growing stronger. The belief is being formed. The belief is being strengthened. He grew strong and was empowered by faith. Who wants to be empowered today? Empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. When you're in faith, I'm not saying this is easy, although it is easy in a sense. It's easier than the other ways, put it that way. But when you're in faith, there's a rest that comes. When you're in faith, there's a peace come. Now, I've been saved 30 years, and I can tell you, I have never in 30 years doubted my salvation. I'm not the guy responding to the altar call every time they give the altar call based on how I feel, because I was taught early on about being born again and being saved, and I had that assurance. And so I've never laid awake at night. I've never talked to anybody about it. I've never been, you know, wondering. I just had it established at an early spiritual age that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm in God's family, I'm a son of God. And so I've never laid awake thinking about whether I'm saved or not. Now I know other people have dealt with it, I understand that, but I've just had that solidified in my heart. And so I know that I'm saved. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so that gives me a rest in that area. I just have a rest. I've got confidence. I just don't doubt. I believe the Word. I believe what the Word says. I did Romans 10. I believe John 3:16. I believe Ephesians chapter 2. I believe these things. By grace through faith, I'm saved. I realize it's a gift of God. I don't have to do anything to earn it. I received it by faith. I believed it. I remember that day. You can see it even now. I believed it, and then I confessed it. Prayed with that particular person, and I was saved. And I just have a rest. I have a peace. Now, again, talking about the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, that was a different matter. I heard the Word on it, and you know, I still remember sitting in that Volkswagen in northern Minnesota. And my brother Pat and I are sitting in this Volkswagen, and it's late at night. It's probably about 10 o'clock at night, and we're just sitting there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and make us speak in tongues. Well, we sat there for 2 hours. Nothing happened because I'm waiting on Him. God's waiting on me. I needed to give Him something to work with. I needed to step out. I needed to start speaking. But see, I just didn't understand. I just wasn't there. But I kept at it. I didn't give up and quit. I kept at it. I kept going to the Word. And in my head began to have an understanding of, yeah, this is for me. But my heart wasn't quite there. Sometimes it just takes a little while. But I kept at it. And then I was sitting in my dorm room reading a book by Oral Roberts, and it was about speaking in tongues. And finally I said, you know, I understand this now. I'm going to start speaking in tongues. And I did. Believed it, received it. And you know what? Till this day, now I know people have struggled in this area. I haven't struggled in 28, 29 years about the Holy Spirit. And I speak in tongues today. And I do it by faith every time, but I believe that when I open my mouth to speak in tongues, in prayer language, I'll be able to do it, and it hasn't failed me in 28 years. The Word's still true. I still do it by faith, but I believe the Word. I'm not struggling with it and trying to figure it out. I know what I have. I know it's mine. The Holy Spirit is in me. He gives me utterance. And concerning healing, have I been challenged in the last 30 years in my body? Sure have. Been challenged with different things that the enemy has tried to bring my way. In some situations, it's taken longer to walk through the process. But I know I start from the position is, it's God's will for me to be healed. And I may be wavering, and I may, you know, have dealing with doubt and unbelief, and I may be at times looking more at the pain. But I know I'm walking this process out. I know what I've got to do. And I can remind myself, even though I read it 15 years ago, remind myself what the Word says. And then what I say about myself is going to have everything to do with the results. And so you've got to be able to speak in the midst of the storm. You've got to be able to open your mouth when it looks like it's getting worse. And you've got to, even when you don't feel like it's happening, that's when you've got to be able to trust Him and be able to say it. What does He say? What are you doing? You're bringing things from the spirit realm into this realm. The spirit realm is higher than this realm. Sickness and disease must bow its knee to the Word of God. It must. It has to. But all kind of things. I mean, first of all, it's difficult to receive if you don't know. Difficult, you know, ignorance. I remember with I was in a financial situation with the IRS, and I was talking to the IRS man, and he said something that really struck me because I was frustrated about what was happening, and he said this to me. He said, now son, he's an older guy, now son, ignorance is not bliss. Thank you. I needed that. What he was saying to me is just because you didn't know the laws doesn't mean you can get away with what you just did. Ignorance is not bliss. And so, I mean, there's a lot of folks, they don't yet never even heard these things. It's difficult to be, and they just have faith accidents. You know, things just, every once in a while things work, and they don't really know how it worked, but it worked that time. Thank God. But if you don't know these things, it's difficult to receive them and to be skillful. What we're talking about, we can be skillful at these things. Not saying it works perfectly and works perfectly every time, but it will work. And I don't understand always why some areas are more challenging than others. But it will work. Another thing is, you know, we just kind of agree. And it's so easy to do this because maybe what we've heard or heard someone else go through, and we can agree in our minds, but our hearts aren't in agreement. We call that mental assent. And that's kind of a dangerous place because it's really a deception because you think you're in faith because you've heard it before. But it's just a faux faith, so to speak. And then there's just this whole thing about unbelief. Well, I know the Bible says it. I know my preacher says it. I know it's in there, but I just don't really believe God will do it for me. Or He'll do it for me one day. And we call that hope. And hope is a good thing. But what does it say about hope? And if you read it in the New King James in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the blueprint. Anybody here ever built a house? Built a house? I mean, what do you start off with? Blueprint. And you got to have that. Blueprint's important. Blueprint is the hope of what I'm going to build in the future. And it's important because you're not going to start the whole thing without hope. So we need hope. Hope is important. But if that's all you have, you'll never bring that house into reality. There's a day when you have to actually give substance to the house. You can have a form in your driveway of, you know, you say you're putting a new driveway in, and they come in and they put the form in there of what they're going to do, and that's beautiful. But you want some concrete to bring some substance to it, right? I mean, it's beautiful to have that, you know, that wood. Boy, that's really beautiful. I really like those little wood slats being there. But it's not going to do you much good until you put the concrete in there. So hope is important. So we have to move beyond hope. And many people are in hope. Well, and you ask them, you know, you're about to pray with them or say something over them. And you say, well, you know, do you believe God's going to do this for you? What do they say? I hope so. And what you want to do, but I never do this because I'm very gracious. You want to just slap, you hope so. You're not going to receive anything if you're just going to be in hope. Oh, you hope so, brother? Okay. We're going to need to talk a little bit after service today. Because we're gracious. Unless the Lord tells me to slap him, I'll slap him. But he's never told me to slap anybody. Yet. So there's all these things, you know, things that we deal with to cause us to waver. What does it say in James? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And don't let that man think that he'll receive anything. Who wants to be known as the double-minded man? Who wants to be known as like Doubting Thomas? I mean, that's what we call him. We don't just call him Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Because he said, I'm going to have to see it and feel it and touch it before I believe it. I mean, he got a bad rap because I'm sure he did some good things. But he's Doubting Thomas. I don't want to be known as Doubting Matt. Unbelief Matt. Wavering Matt. Double-minded Matt. Who wants to be double-minded? What's double-minded? Double-minded, it actually means, get this, a man of two minds. That's deep, isn't it? You had to come to church to hear that today. Teaching you something new. Double-minded man means a man of two minds. Meaning over here you have faith, Matt. Faith, Matt believes the word. Faith, Matt is, yeah, that's right. By his stripes I'm healed. My God supplies all of my needs. That's faith, Matt, over here. But then unbelief, Matt, is over here. Says, no, that's not going to work this time. See, I just committed the unpardonable sin. It's not going to work in this economy. See, people are without jobs and all these other things. So you got this, you know, unbelief, Matt, and then you got faith, Matt, and they're just kind of doing battle. And that's why they call it wavering. And even while I'm preaching today, people are doing this. I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not. Sounds good. No, I don't know. Too good to be true. No, it sounds really good. I'm getting excited about it. No, I've been promised these things before. Preachers for years have promised them they'd never come to pass. But boy, it sounds really, really good. Everybody say, I believe the word.
I believe the word
of God.
I believe
He watches over His word. To perform it. I believe the scriptures.
I believe the
Bible.
I believe the word of God.
And I speak it.
And
I tell it.
And
I meditate on it.
And
I read it.
And
it comes to pass in my life. Because I'm a hearer of the word. And I'm a doer of the word. And therefore, I'm blessed.
I've got a spirit of faith.
Now point to your neighbor and say, you've got a spirit of faith. And don't point at anybody, but why don't we just act like it then? You can do this. You can do this. We must do this. We live by faith. This is who we are. And so if we have to, let's just start dusting off our Bibles. Let's start getting out some of the DVDs. I know we don't have tape players anymore, but let's start getting out those CDs, dusting them off. You know what I'm talking about. The ones sitting in the dust pile. Dust them off. And I don't want your testimony to be, well, the glory days. Those were the glory days of faith. You should have seen me then. I was really something. I was a faith giant. I don't want that to be your testimony.
No.
Faith is now. These are the glory days. Praise God. Hallelujah.